Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Empower You Radio Network, and thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology, where we are tapping into the magic of the cosmos for practical guidance and wisdom, with your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and numerologist. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much for joining me on Living Astrology. Today, we're going to be talking about the summer solstice. And, you know, it was interesting. Last week, I did a class on the summer solstice, and as I was preparing the class, I realized this was going to be the summer of Jupiter and Venus, two of my favorite planets, and they should be two of yours as well, as they tend to bring us, in Jupiter's case, growth and expansion, and the Lady Luck smiles on us through Jupiter, as well as Jupiter rules the basic idea of wealth and abundance. And then we have the planet Venus, who is dancing retrograde for a good chunk of the summer. And she, of course, rules relationships, money, feeling good, things like peace and harmony, and also sensuality. She enjoys the good life. So when these two planets are coming together in the sign of Leo, we want to look and see what's going on in your chart and how you can most benefit from transits like this. And you know, you guys all know how I love to look up at the sky. And of course, this is a great time for you to look up in the night sky just after dark. Now, here in the Pacific Northwest where I live, that doesn't happen till about 10 o'clock at night. I don't know what time it is where you are when this happens, but get outside not long after dark and look to the west. You'll be able to visually connect with Jupiter and Venus. And this week, tomorrow night in particular, the 19th, 20th, and the 21st, you'll be able to connect also with the crescent moon as it starts to peer out and sits right there with Jupiter and Venus. When you look up at the sky, Venus is the brightest of the objects that you'll see besides the moon. We readily identify the moon, but Venus is pretty bright herself. And then the next brightest piece will be the planet Jupiter, and they will be making, together the three of them, will be making up sort of an isosceles triangle, if you know what that is, just kind of an oddly shaped triangle. But that way you can visually identify with what's going on in the skies. All right, well, let's start with some, I have a long list of things today that I want to talk about in terms of the summer astrology, and we're going to get to some of the readings that for people who are in the chat or the wait room, in the queue, I guess it's called. I do want to let you know one thing. If all of a sudden I have to leave you and turn on the music happy, you know I'll be right back. My son is expecting a computer via UPS and I'll have to sign for it. And of course, they come between 4 and 5 in the afternoon. Great timing for me, or not so great. But if you hear that music come on, you know I've just stepped away for a moment and I'll be right back. And of course, what better music to listen to than happy while you're having to wait for me to sign off on a new computer. All right, well, let's see. I wanted to kind of start out by what has been going on this last week as the lead up, or the lead in, if you will, to the solstice. You know, every year the solstices and the equinoxes sort of mark out a period in time where the energy can fundamentally shift. And we see it happening in our own lives as we move from spring into summer. We prepare for the outdoor life. As we move from summer to fall, we prepare for the harvest and start moving our lives more toward the indoors. In the winter, of course, we're preparing for that cocooning feeling. And then spring, we start coming back out. So fundamentally in our own lives, energy shifts. But it's also reflected to us in the stars in the heavens. And so that is why I like to do a look at the sky before each of the solstices and equinoxes. And wouldn't you know it, UPS is just now arriving. So I am going to wait a few minutes while it makes its way down my driveway. So let's start with what happened here on this week. June 12th was the Neptune turning retrograde at 9 degrees Pisces. And I think we talked a little bit about this last week. And I'm going to come back and talk more about that in just one moment. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say, Hello again. I'm back. I so apologize, but that was quick and easy. So the fact that Neptune turned retrograde on June 12th tells us it signals to us a time where we are meant to start listening more and more strongly to our intuition. In fact, what I've discovered through time and, you know, many readings with people is that once Neptune turns retrograde, intuition becomes very heightened. I've noticed this in my own daily life as far as knowing, you know, seeing information, like somebody will pop into my head and next thing I know I'm getting an email from them or the phone rings and it's them. So it's that daily idea of intuition that becomes very prominent. Now, also during this time, if you have an intuitive knowing that you need to be doing something or going somewhere, meeting somebody, listen, because back or when we get up to November, you may find that you regret that you didn't listen to your intuition. Things may not work out the way they planned, etc. So be very aware of that. June 14th, the Sun conjuncted Mars in Gemini, still is there. And guess what? Tomorrow's my birthday, and I have the Sun conjunct Mars on my natal Sun for this year. That's going to be a very energetic year for me and bodes well for being able to bring a lot of dynamic action to whatever area of my life I feel like bringing it to. Also for you, it means that wherever the Sun conjuncted Mars is also dynamically active in your own chart. When we do some readings today, if you want me to look at that, please say that to me so I'll be able to look at that for you. June 15th, Saturn retrograded back into Scorpio. If you remember earlier in this year, Saturn moved into Sagittarius for the first time in 28, 29 years. And then in April, it moved to retrograde motion, and now it's actually retrograded back to Scorpio, the sign it was in before. While it was in Scorpio for 2 to 2.5 years, we were all dealing with a lot of emotional, deep emotional things. Maybe it was that we were having to let go of things, relationships, jobs, you know, people, feelings, and old hurts, and all these kinds of things were coming up for us all. And here we get to do this again. And wouldn't you know it, June 15th was just earlier this week. And I have already had to deal with emotional stuff that I thought I had already completed. And so that is what I'm guessing is going to be happening for all of you as well. Any places where you hadn't completed emotional work or the letting go of something that was no longer serving you, it comes back up now in a very powerful way. Sort of like the universe, you know, kicking you in the side a little bit and saying, okay, are you ready to do this now? And Saturn will stay retrograde until it turns direct August 1st, and it won't re-enter Sagittarius again until September 17th, where it will stay for 2 years, and that'll fundamentally shift the energy of Saturn. We'll talk about that more in another show, I'm sure. June 16th, of course, we have the new moon. So the summer solstice actually occurs June 21st. At 9:38 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So if you're on the East Coast, that means it'll be more like 12:38 in the afternoon. And the solstice occurs when the sun comes to 0 degrees Cancer. So our summer signs, if you are aware of your own chart and you know where these signs are in your astrology chart, we're looking at the signs of Cancer, Leo, Virgo, and all the way up till we get to 0 degrees Libra, which marks the fall equinox. And we'll even go a little further than that today a little bit, just because there's some interesting things happening just over the border of the equinox. So quickly, let's take a look at what is the moon doing during this particular summer. It's making its usual trek through. The new moon was in Gemini on the 16th, so we're in the shadow still of the new moon. We have the full moon in July across Cancer and Capricorn, a new moon at 23 Cancer on July 15th. And then we also have another full moon in July on the 31st at 8 degrees of Leo Aquarius, which puts it into the realm of the Jupiter and Venus dance that is going on. As we move into August, what we have now are the next three supermoons. Remember from previous talks, we've talked about the supermoon as being sort of a jacked up full moon or new moon, whichever end it's at. These all happen to be, it's a full moon, new moon, then full moon. And the supermoon is the moon's closest approach to the Earth for that particular year. The closest supermoon happens to also be a lunar eclipse this summer. It's actually in the fall. It's 9:27, so we'll be just into the fall equinox. But on September 12th, which still puts us at the very end of summer, we'll also have a supermoon partial solar eclipse in Virgo. And the first supermoon is also across the Virgo-Pisces axis on August 29th. So there's going to be a very energetic oomph, if you will, toward the end of the summer. And so everybody should be prepared. If you've been doing all the things that have been coming up and you know, doing your due diligence and working with your intuition, these full moons should not create any issues for you. However, there are times like Saturn did to me this week. If you don't pay attention the first time, you may get another little kick as the full moon kicks in. Mercury has one more retrograde and coming up during the summer, and that will be in the retrograding through Libra. It'll enter Libra on August 27th, and the shadow period will begin then on August 28th. Actual retrograde doesn't begin until September 17th. So we don't really have to worry about it too much until we get to the very end of summer. But remember that this year's Mercury retrogrades are all happening in air signs. And so we have a lot of the energy of the mind, of learning, of what are we thinking. And in Libra, it also affects our relationships. And so that'll be an interesting thing for us to look out for as we get closer to that date in the end of the summer. Now, let's see. I want to switch over to Venus because Venus is the biggest news of the summertime. She is the planet, of course, that we talked about of relationships. She also rules our money and the concept of feeling good, right? That those feeling good energies, having peace and harmony and being having serenity in our lives. And she is also retrograding this summer. And much like Mercury does, she retrogrades on a regular basis, just not as frequently as Mercury. So this is about an every 18-month occurrence. So some of you may not have heard about you may have heard of Mercury going retrograde. You may not be familiar with Venus retrograde. But she does bring some really interesting energies to us. So let me give you the dates. Venus will retrograde from July 25th to September 6th. And she'll be doing that from 0 degrees Virgo backwards into Leo, all the way back to 14 degrees Leo, which she has already hit that degree. So we're already entering into periods of time right now where we can almost see the handwriting on the wall as to what Venus retrograde may be bringing to us. If you're in tune with this, think about what's been going on with your money, with your investments perhaps, and your closest relationships. Venus relationships can include your marriage partner or your significant others. It can also be your best friends, your closest work associates, and that kind of thing. So at any rate, these are the things that would be affected by the Venus retrograde. But we have something really interesting happening along with Venus retrograding this year that may make it, may mitigate some of the energies of the Venus retrograde, but it can also make for some very fun and lighthearted energies, maybe bring you new relationships and new people into your life. And that's when Venus conjuncts Jupiter, which, by the way, happens three times between now and October, on July 1st. Venus, which will still be in forward motion, and Jupiter in forward motion, will touch at 21 degrees Leo. And on August 4th, Venus retrograde will touch Jupiter at 28 degrees Leo. And then again on October 25th at 15 degrees Virgo. So while we have Venus conjunct Jupiter, expect some good things. When we look at charts today, that's where we're going to be really looking and honing in on where is Jupiter and Venus dancing right now. And I can tell you, for a lot of people, and I tend to look at the patterns of things that develop in the readings that I'm going to be doing or in the people that are having readings for me. And there are two places that seem to be primary right now. One is the career and the profession area of your life where you claim your authority and your authenticity. And the second place is the house of health. And I think there was one other interesting place. Ah, the fifth house, which is the house of having fun. And so this is going to be all about How do we create more of the good times in our lives? Now, I see we have a lot of callers in the queue, and I've already taken four people that I know of that will be doing readings and a couple of others that had sent me their birth information. So if you are in the queue right now and I haven't talked to you, I don't have a producer anymore in the background, so I will get to you, or at least I will try to get to you. I've given an extra half an hour to today's show to get some extra readings in, so please be patient and I will try to get to you. If you're just listening in the background, that's great too. Don't worry about being on the phone lines. Okay, so let's go back to Venus conjuncting Jupiter and what that might bring. So Venus in retrograde motion can often bring us back to people that we thought were no longer in our lives. For example, a lot of people on under a Venus retrograde are noticing that friends that they hadn't heard from in ages come back or recontact them. Relationships that they thought were over, like love relationships, maybe there's, you know, contact reestablished between you and that person. And that doesn't always mean that they take up and complete, you know, start a new relationship, because often relationships started under a Venus retrograde are not meant to last forever. They sort of have a shorter term. So what it means to me when I see that, if it's in a relationship-oriented place in your chart, is that there's maybe something that you and the other person need to complete together. And so that's why you're drawn together during the Venus retrograde, to complete a cycle between the two of you. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, back in each other's life with all the negativity that happened perhaps in the first go-round. But maybe you can sort of bat clean up here and, you know, come to a sort of peace between the two of you. That would be the high side of using this kind of energy. Now, Venus retrograde in your current relationships also plays a role. And here's where things can get pretty tricky if you're not very aware of what's going on. And that is, in your current relationships under Venus retrograde, you may start to notice all the things that annoy you about your partners, or all the things that aren't working out between you and your friend or your work companions. And you may be very tempted to either end the relationship or bring up the problem to that person, or, you know, in some other way address the issues between you. But I'm going to tell you, please avoid doing that during Venus retrograde, as it's okay to observe these things that are going on between you. It is okay to observe them, notice that they're there, but as in any planet that's retrograde, turn it inward and look and see, what does this mean for me? How am I feeling? Does this match a pattern that I've seen in my life and other places? Ask yourself the hard questions before you attack another person, or before you start saying, I got to get out of here, I can't stand this, you know, anymore. Please wait until you get toward the end of this retrograde, which would be after September 6th, and even a little bit later, if you can possibly wait out just a little bit later into October or into early October, then you're completely done with the retrograde cycle. Then you can address what's been going on with that relationship. Then you can address the things that you saw in your current relationships that you didn't necessarily like. And then things can come clear for you, as opposed to being muddied up by a retrograde Venus. One of the other things, of course, I said that Venus rules is money. And so what can we expect with a Venus retrograde and money? So certainly it goes without saying that you certainly don't go out and buy big ticket items that are considered luxury items under a Venus retrograde. For example, there are lots of stories on different websites, astrology websites, about people who bought, you know, luxury cars or bought a home even under a Venus retrograde. And, you know, on the surface, everything seemed to be perfect. They loved it. It was beautiful. It filled all their needs. And within a couple of days of Venus having turned back to direct, problems crop up. There was this one story of a woman who bought a Mercedes, her dream car, and a day after it went, Venus went back to direct motion, the car broke down on the highway. And then she discovered, in trying to get it fixed, it was a complete and utter lemon. And then she realized she's stuck in a lease option, or whatever they call those things with cars where you lease it and it's a very long-term thing, and she couldn't get out of it. So be aware that we really don't want to buy big ticket items. Shop for them, certainly, but don't buy them until after Venus is done with retrograde. Now, the same thing happens with big investments. If you're going to take a big chunk of money and invest it in something, real estate, the stock market, annuities, insurances, any of those kinds of things, try to avoid that under the retrograde, because you might not be seeing it clearly, or it may not have been represented to you in the way that it was really meant to be represented. The only exception to this, by the way, where people have had really good luck buying things under a Venus retrograde is in antiques. Going back to the past and buying something of worth in an antique store or something like that seems to be the notable exception to this rule. So if you're an antique hound, go looking for antiques. You may find that one piece that you've been dying to find, and you may find it at the best price, because I'll tell you what else happens under Venus retrograde. People let go of things that are valuable because they don't realize the value of them. So people may be holding on to these beautiful old-time cars or armoires or jewelry, coins, and they don't recognize the value of it. They let it go for cheap. Their delusion is your gain, and so that's why that can happen in the benefit to you during this particular period of time. So again, you know, it really comes down to people just using your head. If it looks too good to be true, then it probably is, and wait until Venus is not retrograde any longer. And if there's something that you've been dying to get, that you've been shopping around for, try to get it done before Venus goes retrograde. Here's another thing that popped in the other day. I was talking to another astrologer friend, and we were talking about cosmetic surgeries under a Venus retrograde, because remember, Venus rules beauty, and she rules the things that we do to beautify ourselves, including the surgeries that we do, you know, nose jobs, tummy tucks, liposuction, you name it, brow whatevers, all those types of surgeries that we might elect to do under for beauty purposes, under a Venus retrograde can go terribly wrong, which makes me wonder about stars like, I think her name was Erin Gray, that had a horrible nose job, and she was the actress in Dirty Dancing, and we hardly saw her afterwards because her face was so different from what she had intended. And it's that kind of thing that I would bet she had it done during a Venus retrograde. Couldn't swear to that, but it's a distinct possibility. So avoid having elective surgeries like that also. You know, waiting another couple months is not going to kill you. I also had a friend that was going to have some, like reduction surgeries done, like breast reduction. And I would also wait on that type of thing, because you just don't know for sure how that is going to turn out. You don't know on a good day how that's going to turn out. You know, the doctors are only as good as their tools and as good as their mind is that day. And if they are not affected by positive transits as well, why would you risk it? So try to avoid having those things done. Now, if in fact you have to go in for another surgery, let's say you have to have some kind of surgery done and it happens to fall during the retrograde, you know, I wouldn't worry so much about it as long as it's not an elective surgery. But I would know that I would do things to support my body, my immune system, and my blood system, because Venus rules the blood in the body, and you want to not have excessive bleeding. So if your doctor tells you to stop taking aspirin or to stop, you know, on your blood thinners and things like that, make sure you follow all directions in case you do have to have any kind of surgery, or even, you know, dentistry done. You may be subject to more tendency to inflammation during a Venus retrograde. So you want to take care of yourself as much as you can during that period of time. The really good news, though, is because Jupiter is also involved in the same degrees of Leo as Venus will be in, you have this benefic sort of angel on your shoulder during this time. And, you know, the two of them together make for a rather beautiful song. I was thinking earlier in the year when I saw Venus going retrograde what the effect on the economy would be, because a lot of astrologers and financial pundits were all looking to the second half of the fiscal year to possibly look at as being a drain on the economy. Maybe the economic numbers didn't look so good, or maybe the Fed would raise interest rates and that kind of thing. Well, I am certainly not an expert in that case, and I would say those things are all possible. So in the case of this having the possibility for that kind of thing happening, then the best thing for you to do is to go with your intuition. Remember, Neptune is retrograde. You have heightened intuition right now. Take a look inside and see what you hear about what's going on and act accordingly. Don't go with the fear mongers outside in the world. Don't turn on Fox News, for God's sakes, because they'll scare the pants off of you. Just do what sounds right for you. Come inside and look inside. Even a Venus retrograde means come inside and see what's going on inside. Make decisions from your own strength and authority as opposed to anything that somebody from outside of you is telling you. I mean, that's good advice at any time through any retrograde, but particularly at this time. It seems like we're going to be we have a real tendency during this time to grow and expand. So you'll want to make sure that if you are growing and expanding, that you're not doing it in a way that is not sustainable, because Venus turning retrograde could turn something that looked sustainable into a nightmare. So just, you know, be wise about what you're doing with your money and with your investments, and try not to do anything that would be new under that retrograde. All right. And if you guys have questions about that, you can email me at janet@living-astrology.com. I'll be happy to answer questions about that. Also, I'll be talking to people doing readings today, and we'll look at that as well. Now, one other thing Venus is doing this summer is on August 31st and September 1st, Venus will be conjuncting Mars. So here we have Venus, which is the love principle. She's the love goddess. She is the principle of sensuality, and she meets up with Mars, which is the male principle, but also the sexual principle in a chart. So I would look to some really good relationship type relating, whether it's sensual, sexual, or just being able to, be good friends together when Venus conjuncts Mars as we get into late August and early September. These two connect, you know, at least once or twice a year, depending on how their cycle is running. And so it's not, you know, as stellar, let's say, as some of the other things that are happening, but it is a day for you to mark. If you want to go out on a date that night, you know, set up a date with your husband or significant other or your wife, that would be a great day to do it. Should turn out quite nicely. Furthering Mars's transits this summer, we have Mars in Gemini now at the solstice. It goes into Cancer on June 24th, and it will move into Leo in August and Virgo in September, also playing in the same area as Jupiter and Venus. So we'll have, at some point, I'm sure, a lot of energy coming through the signs of Leo and Virgo. And remember, as I said, the moon will also be having its eclipse pattern through Virgo and Pisces. As we get into the end of the summer. Now today, let's see, Jupiter and Uranus are doing a wonderful thing for us right now as we look at what's going on with Jupiter for the summer. Jupiter is in a trine, which is a favorable aspect. It means an ease and flow of the energy between these two giant planets. The Jupiter is the planet of growth and expansion, and Uranus, we call the Great Awakener. It brings things to us in when we least expect it, in surprising ways. And so the energy and flow between these two planets from now all the way through probably June 23rd, June 24th, are in such a relationship to bring us some really interesting good things. And it may be something that you don't expect, that you don't see coming. So just, you know, let the universe know what it is that you desire, and I would fully expect to see it happen for you. And then later into the summer, as we get into August, August 11th, as a matter of fact, Jupiter moves into Virgo. It hasn't been in Virgo for 12 years, so it'll be the first time in 12 years that it has moved into this sign. So you could look back. Let's see, this is 2015. So you could look back to 2003, a 12-year cycle ago, to see what kinds of energies were playing in your life at that time. And that might give you a clue as to how Jupiter might be playing in your chart this summer. Virgo is a sign of practical, organized ways of doing things. It's very grounded, down to earth. Its interest is in purifying. It's very astute in the body and health, and can, you know, give you a real healing if you allow it to. So it, depending on how aware of you are of this energy in your own chart, you may see the next year be extraordinarily healing. You may find yourself involved in new ways of dealing with healing or in the alternative ways of healing. So we'll do another show in August on Jupiter's move into Virgo and talk about that more specifically. We'd already talked about Saturn turning retrograde on the 14th back into Scorpio. It won't re-enter Sagittarius until September 17th, but be aware some emotional things can be showing up while it's sitting at those last 2 degrees of Scorpio for the next couple of months. All right, our outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and Chiron, are all moving into their retrograde phases as we go into the summer. We've already talked about Neptune having turned retrograde, where it will stay retrograde until November 19th, and it is in the 7 to 9 degree area of your chart in Pisces. And then Uranus is in Aries retrograde from July 26th to December 25th. Now, this is not unusual, right? These planets are always spending a good amount of time retrograde. And really good things can happen when the outer planets are retrograde because it gives us some time to look inward and see what kinds of things we need to change within us. Pluto is retrograde already in Capricorn and will stay retrograde until September 24th. And Chiron also retrograding June 24th to November 27th in Pisces along with Neptune. Real potential for healing on the inner dimensions during this period of time this summer. So if there has been an issue in your life that's been prominent that you have not been able to get rid of or you haven't been able to see a way around it or get through it, this may be the time when there are a sort of a confluence of planets and energies that allow you to not only work through that energy but finally see it come to an end of how it has been dogging you perhaps throughout your life. All right. I know you probably all have questions out there, and I would love to take some questions. I'm going to start with some readings. And my first person that sent me their information today was Debbie. Hello, Debbie. Are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm a little breathless. I had a lot of information to get through, and I wanted plenty of time for reading. So are you mind-boggled now?
Totally.
Well, I certainly didn't mean for that to happen, but I see this long list of people, so I want to make sure everybody gets a turn at looking at their chart if possible. So let's take a look at what's going on for you. I know you've just made a move and into a temporary place because I know you're looking for another house,
right.
A purchase, right? You're looking to purchase property.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things you want to be very careful of is that purchase doesn't take place within this Venus retrograde time. If it overlaps, which it's likely going to do, if you purchase something between now and July 25th, when Venus turns retrograde, you're going to have some overlap because it's possible escrow doesn't close, or maybe there's some things that have to be done before it closes.
Right.
So even if it overlaps somewhat, I'm not too worried in your case. Because Jupiter and Venus for you are in a completely non-real estate related area. They're actually in your ninth house, and that is a house that sort of expands our horizons. A lot of times people, when Jupiter is in Leo or in their ninth house, they travel widely throughout the world. Do you have trips planned this summer?
Not yet, but I'm hoping to. You know where one of them is.
Yes. Yes, I remember you're coming to Washington to visit here in the good part of the summer. And so I'm looking forward to that. But sometimes, well, I mean, if you consider this, you're in the Florida area. I'm up in the Washington area. We are just about as far away diametrically as we could be in this country and still
right.
be in the same country. So it could be, you know, very much culture shock coming to the state of Washington. It would be the same if I went to the state of Florida. There would be different cultures, different foods, different weather, a completely different way of life, perhaps. So in a way, this could still, you know, be the harbinger of expanded horizons for you. The only thing that's happening for you in this is that Jupiter in this transit through Leo is going to be hitting your natal Pluto. to me, that expands not only your cultural experiences or your social scene, but it also expands your spiritual world and the contacts that you make in the spiritual world. You know, maybe you expand what you do in the world, or you transform yourself in some kind of spiritually important way. Maybe you have your intuition that's more enhanced or more spot on during this period of time. But in some way, Jupiter is affecting, you know, a big growth pattern for you.
Great.
And not necessarily, even though Venus is going to go by here and be retrograde at the time she gets to Pluto in your chart, this won't even necessarily be a negative thing for you in this. It could signal a very powerful transformation in relationships for you as well. So I think you have everything to look forward to as you move through the summer. Now, let's take a look at the Sun-Mars conjunction, because I think I told people I would also look at that in their chart. For you, Sun-Mars in their conjunction are sitting at your natal Jupiter. How fun is this? So they're related here. And they're related astrologically in a sextile, which is also a very good combination of energies. There's an ease and flow, a way to be able to use your talents and gifts in a way that promotes yourself in the world when we're dealing with these two energies. And the Sun-Mars conjunction to your Jupiter is in the seventh house of relationships. So I like this. Relationships of all kinds, by the way, partnerships that could be business related, partnerships that could be, you know, more personal and lead to marriage or to a longer term relationship. And so as I look at that, I think, wow, that's a distinct possibility for you through either social contacts or in, you know, maybe through your travels through different parts of the country. So maybe you're coming up to Washington to meet your soulmate in some way. I don't know.
That would be interesting.
I'm throwing that out there. Yeah. Now, for
great.
You, I want you to watch a couple of extra little things for you, okay? And
okay.
There's nothing specific that I have to say except that Saturn is retrograding into Scorpio in your 12th house, which means there may be hidden emotional things that may develop for you over the next couple of months. You know, I had a very big one happen to me yesterday, and I wish I could share it, but I would be really sort of embarrassed to maybe seem very human to you all. It was emotional, and it really hit me hard. And I realized as I came through the next several hours that this was something that I had already been dealing with over the previous 2 years when Saturn was in Scorpio. I thought I had worked through it completely. Apparently, I had not. And so the last vestiges of something, Debbie, may come up that you thought you dealt with that maybe you really hadn't. Don't go into panic mode over it. You know, I had to really pull the reins in on myself yesterday as I was going through this so that I didn't overreact and do something that I would regret later.
Right.
So same thing with you. If something comes up that you thought from your past that you dealt with, don't go into panic mode over it. Remain calm. And look to, what does this mean for me? What is it showing me? Not as a way to beat yourself up or judge yourself, by the way, just as a way to say, okay, what do I still need to work with here?
Right. Okay.
Okay. And I only say that it's a possibility here. It's not a foregone conclusion.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And last but not least, one thing that I you know, we talked a little bit about Pluto in terms of it going, you know, being retrograde through the summer, but it's also coming very close to retrograding over your destiny. So I would say, and your destiny is in the second house of money and wealth and value and self-worth. So I would see from now until 2016 being some kind of positive transformation in the financial world for you. So I like the way that sounds. We'll look at that closer, you know, to next year, but that's also in the works.
Great. That sounds excellent to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I'll talk with you later.
All right, Debbie. Thank you so
I
much
your
for holding.
I phone call. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Blessings.
Take care. Blessings to
bye.
You.
Bye. Love
bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Love. All right. So even though you may not be getting a reading right now, you are probably benefiting by being able to hear what's going on in some other people's charts. Please be patient and wait your turn. I promise I will get to as many of you as I can here today. Let's see, my next caller was Jennifer. Jennifer, are you there? Hello, Jennifer.
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
Very good. So, Jennifer, have you ever had an astrology reading before?
A long time ago I did.
Okay. Are you somewhat familiar with your chart, or is this sort of new to you?
Not really. I'm new.
Okay. Well, so let
and
me bring
I'm a Libra.
This.
That's about it. So.
Okay. Well, I'll try to explain it in as simple terms as I can for you. If you have questions, please ask.
Sure.
You are in a very favorable, let's say, position for the summer, as you just recently had what I call a Jupiter return. And what that is a time when Jupiter has completed its cycle around your chart and comes back to the point where it was when you were born. And that only happens once every 12 years. And so, and this would have happened earlier in the spring. So, you know, possibly early March, or mid-March, early April. And so it begins, or it heralds a time of new growth for you. So if you figure your life is sort of a stair-step growth, right? You go up and then you come to plateaus and then you go up. Well, you're going up again here, right? You're coming off what I would say is an integration time as Jupiter was finishing its transit through your chart, and now you're on that upswing again. And so I would expect a lot of openings for you in terms of Jupiter issues, things around growth and expansion, and how are you, gaining luck and wealth in your life. And Jupiter, by birth for you, is in the fifth house, which is Leo territory. Love this, because that means that everything for you right now is around learning how to play and have fun and be creative, to enjoy life, to enhance it with more love and more romance. And does any of this feel good to you, feel right to you right now? Yeah. I think, you know, sometimes, Jupiter for you is linked with Lilith, the Black Moon Lilith, and she is often our shadow part of us. And the shadow for you is at the 29th degree of Cancer. And Lilith, the shadow in Cancer can be sometimes a little bit of fear around abandonment. And so there may be some hesitance on your part when you get into new relationships around giving of yourself wholly, romantically or lovingly, as you may be always somehow holding back in fear that maybe they're going to abandon you in some way. And if that's happened, I want you to let this go. How old are you now? 1978. So you're 36. So let this one go now, because you're coming into what will be some very interesting energies over in the next 6 years. You'll be in that, or 4 to 6 years, you'll be in that Uranus opposition, which we call the midlife crisis, or I like to call it the midlife redirect, because it redirects our energies toward what we're passionate about and what we love, and also shows up in a way in areas of our life that we have not been able to let go of things or claim our power in some way. So I think where you might have trouble claiming your power is in love and romance. Now, are you married currently or in a...
No,
in a,
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
Now, so I'm going to kind of go a little out of the realm here and talk about your relationships, because in your natal chart, the seventh house, which is the house of relationships, marriage, business partnerships, some of the deeper, closer relationships we have in our lives, you have your destiny. You have the sun in Pluto in a conjunction, which is very powerful, very transformational, and you also have Mercury. So, and these are sitting in the sign of Libra, the sign that rules relationships, or at least in the astrology that we know of right now. So relationships are very, very powerful for you. And they can also see you be in power struggles with people, where people may want to control you, or alternatively, you're trying to control other people in the relationship. So just be very aware of how this dynamic is playing, particularly because you are coming very close to a destiny return as well. And so you get Jupiter return, which is a whole new 12-year cycle of growth, but you're also approaching a 19-and-a-half-year cycle of connecting more powerfully with your life purpose and your destiny. And your that'll happen somewhere as we get into November. I don't have the exact date for you. That would be an excellent time for you to look up an astrologer and have a reading, a personal reading, and look at, you know, what things are coming up for you, especially since your birthday in October. Maybe a solar return reading. Let's look at your birthday. So look up a good astrologer for your birthday and have a reading, because it'll tell the tale. Where is this happening in this year's or this upcoming year's theme for you? Because I can tell you, with Pluto and the Sun conjunct here, this is lifelong, right? This isn't just happening today, and oh, by the way, it's gone. But relationships dominate your life path. And how you get into those relationships, you in the relationship, is really some of where your biggest juice is for this particular lifetime. So someone will want to really take a good look at that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have any specific questions for me?
I don't know, like what happened as far as like people with health issues and stuff. Is that going to get better?
Yeah, that is a great question, because the fifth house is where Jupiter and Venus were at first conjunct, and or where they will first conjunct, and then they will move off into your sixth house of health. And so you have a lot of good luck and benefic energy being conferred into the house of the body, of the health. Now, you have Saturn in that house by birth. Are you having issues in with your connective tissues, with bones or teeth or all of those?
I have lupus, autoimmune, but it's on like a milder scale. But I have like my muscles are like, I'm not over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so here's some of the best news probably of the year for you. You have a real opportunity to heal through some of this physical issue that's going on, particularly if you are willing to look deeper into the cause of these of this particular condition, and not as a way to judge yourself or say, oh, I'm so bad or what have you, but to just look deeper and see what does it mean for you. And how, and you know, a lot of the energy we hold in our body comes first through the esoteric levels, the spiritual realm, the mental realm, the emotional realm. And so taking a look at that may be a way for you to be able to use some of this benefic energy to even heal some of these things that you're going through. Now, just one quick thing. I am not a doctor. I am an astrologer. So whatever your doctor says goes. But you are also the master of your health. And so it's up to you to take your health in your own hands. And part of that could be taking a look at what's going on in your head, in your mind. Okay?
Right. Yeah, I understand.
But I think you have a real potential
better.
To get things better here. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Jennifer, for calling in.
I'm going to listen to the rest of the show, though. I can stay on.
Okay. You can stay on. I'll mute your line, and I'll take on my next caller, okay?
Thank you. Happy birthday tomorrow.
Oh, thank you very much. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jennifer. Okay, I'm going to take a stab at this because I haven't been able to talk to this person before the show, but I think this is her number. So I'm going to say, Sandy, is this you?
Yes.
Hi, Sandy. How are you?
Good.
You are the only 360 area code, and I know you're up in the Bellingham area, so I just took a chance that that was you. How's everything going for you?
Everything is going well. I just came to my 70th birthday.
Yay! Happy
70th. On May 17th.
Yay. So you're actually a Taurus.
Yes.
Yay. So Taurus, of course, is one of the signs that is ruled by the planet Venus. So this can have special significance for you this summer. So let's take a look at your chart real quickly. So Taurus, a Taurus sun in the second house, the cusp of the second and third house, tells me a lot about how you would make your money in this lifetime. It would be by speaking or teaching. And of course, I already know this to be true about you because I know what you do out there in the world. But so this tells me you've been on your path, right, Sandy? You have done in this lifetime pretty much what you came here to do. Use your voice to empower other people. And I know you also have classes designed for women and men, but particularly your voice when used to empower women is especially important because Taurus is a feminine sign, Venus, the planet, is a feminine planet, but it doesn't mean that you're not also empowering men. So now let's look and see where Jupiter and Venus are transiting this particular summer for you. And they look to be in the sixth house of health, which is the same as the caller before me. Are you experiencing good health right now? Or are you having any challenges in the health realm?
Nope, I'm in good health.
I love it. I love it, because these two planets have already passed over the Pluto-Moon conjunction you have in your sixth house. To me, those two planets confer either really, really good health, or on the opposite side, they could have conferred very ill health, poor health. I'm so happy to hear that they have been a very good strength because there's a certain stubbornness or determination here to stick with good health, which, or in the opposite, if it were poor health, then it would be very difficult to break out of that with a Pluto-Moon conjunction here. So Jupiter and Venus moving through this part of your chart are also benefiting you on the health arena. So 70 years, good health. Maybe these two are telling you you have another, you know, good 30 years to go here. Maybe you're going to be, you know, a centenarian and live well into your 100th year. So
My mother and my father died this year. My mother was 95. My father was 97.
So you have a history, a family history, even a genetic history, if you will, of longevity. So this is sort of what I'm seeing here with Jupiter and Venus, very benefic planets serving to benefit your health in, you know, a very powerful way, that because they've already passed over the planets where they could have caused problems or where an issue could have been exposed in some way. Now let's take a look at relationships, because I think in your email that was where you were most interested in looking at. And there are two places in a chart that I look at for relationships, specifically love relationships. And that is the fifth house of love and romance, and then also the seventh house of the more long-term relationships. So for you, the moon right now is the only thing moving through the fifth house of love and romance, but not far behind it is the sun and Mars. And so I would see during the summer that the potential for male energy to come into your life is really high. Now, the sun, of course, passes through here every year. The sun, the planet Mars passes through every 2 years. So it's not like this is the first time that these two can come through this part of your chart. But with Jupiter and Venus conferring, you know, positive relationship energy on us, no matter where it is in our chart, I think that the possibility is that this summer that you may find yourself in a very loving relationship or love and romance popping up. Now let's look to the longer term relationship house, the seventh house, where, by the way, you also have quite a bit of planetary energy, like Jennifer in the previous call. Your planets in your seventh house are Jupiter, so I'm sure you have probably benefited from some relationships in your life or marriages in your life. I don't know if you've ever been married, but there's the possibility of having, you know, those kinds of relationships that are very beneficial to you. But you also have Chiron here, and the potential then for a relationship that wounds you in some way is also here in the chart. And of course, the whole idea behind Chiron isn't just about the wound, but it's about healing from the wound, right? How did I go through this in my life? And what did I learn from this? You also have Neptune here, and you also have the Black Moon Lilith. Now, for you, the Black Moon Lilith sits in Libra, but still in your seventh house of relationship. And a Black Moon Libra is sometimes someone whose base fear is about being lonely or being alone. So they tend to be people that really want to be in relationships. Then they get into relationships and they have problems within the relationship because they're constantly judging themselves and coming up short, or they judge the other people and come up short, or other people judge them in the relationship and they end up coming up short. Here's the news that I think is so awesome for you, though. You're now 70 years old. you have come through the Chiron return, which happened right around your 50th, 51st birthday. So now it should be smoother sailing in relationships now because you're coming at them from a place of wisdom. Does all that sound good to you? Does that sound accurate?
Yes, I've definitely been married before, no question. It was, you know, I never had any bad relationships in my lifetime. I'm still friends and in relationship with mostly every single person I've ever been in relationship with from the mm-hmm. time I was 18 years old.
I love it. I love it. Because
essentially, with all these people in a good relationship, and there are many of them.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So this could be a very good time for you then, as maybe what I'm seeing is the ability for you to reap the benefit of relationships because there's a lot of energy lining up for them, for you. Now, are you also doing, I know you travel back and forth to Europe frequently. Are you planning some other trips this summer?
Yes, I will go to Sweden from July 30th to August 24th to teach different trainings there, like my 10-day course in being a certified coach. I mm-hmm. have that same course in Bellingham, July 17th to the 26th, the Power of Clearing Coaching Certification Training. And then in October and November, I will do a series of trainings in Garmisch, Germany, which is between Munich and Innsbruck, England, specifically a place called Kings Langley, and Nottinghamshire, which is where Robin Hood was born. You know, in Sherwood Forest.
Yay.
And in Scotland, in the place called Dunblane, Scotland. So that's in October, November.
Well, Sandy, I am really glad for you that you have good health because that is a very hectic schedule to, you know, be putting that much travel in those, you know, 3 or 4 months period of time. And what I'm seeing here, though, is the planet Saturn in your ninth house, which is the house I would equate with overseas travel. And it would seem then that what you're doing is a lot of good for people in whatever information you're exposing them to, if it's empowerment, if it's coaching certification, if it's how to get through relationships, that kind of thing. You are doing a lot of good because Saturn, when you're doing your Saturn work, you're in your power and authority. And you're seen as someone who has that kind of power and authority. And you're using it in a good way. It seems sort of global, though, in its effect, because Saturn in the ninth house is affecting a lot more than just your little neighborhood of Bellingham, Washington. So going large. Spreading your word far and wide, and having the good health, of course, is so important to being able to work that kind of schedule. So I think things are lining up rather nicely for me.
Can you say, Janet, what would be the most optimum days to enter a relationship for me this summer? Do we have any special optimum days?
I would look at the August 31st, September 1st. Time period, the very toward the end of summer, because that's when Venus is going to conjunct Mars, and in this particular incident or case, it's going to put Venus in a very powerful place for you. It's going to put it in your sixth house, which means when we look at relationships, we want them to have a solid foundation. Right, we want them to not just be superficial necessarily. We don't want it to be here today, gone tomorrow. But I would be careful only because Venus is retrograde during that time. But I would bet someone comes into your life right around that particular time period. It may not bloom into a relationship, however, until later. So you know you've met the person. Maybe there's a spark that develops. But the spark may smolder for a little bit and then ignite later on as we get into the early fall. So that's how I would expect this might play out for you. Does that help?
Okay, that's good. I got it. Thank you so much, Janet.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for calling today and for listening to Living Astrology. Bye, Sandy.
Okay, bye-bye.
So we're having some wonderful people calling in today and some great readings. I think my next caller is Cindy. Cindy, are you still there with me?
Hi there.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am doing well. My chart is just popping with all this stuff.
I bet it is. Let me take a look real quick here. I just pulled it up before the show started, so I haven't really gotten to look at it. Ah, I see. So you have a Sun-Mars conjunction on top of your Mars. So... soon to hit your Uranus and then to hit your Mercury. So I would say this is also an extraordinary summer for you. This is happening between the signs of Gemini and Cancer, and also, like Sandy and Jennifer, in your ninth house. So I would look to, how am I expanding my horizons this summer? How do I grow? Because that's really what's happening for you in some big ways. What's going on in your life? What's being set up that you can see right now?
Well, I'm hoping to sell a house, but I've got to, just everything is going to start popping in my chart, you know. I've got things on the back burner that I'm kind of waiting for, you know, things to start happening. Regarding planets hitting.
Yeah.
I'd love to do some traveling, but can't do it till I sell my house.
Well, what's going on in your work too? Because remember I said in the beginning of the show, quite a few people have this going on in their career sector, and you are one of them. The Jupiter-Venus transit and conjunctions are happening in your 10th house on top of your Pluto-Venus conjunction natally. So I believe you're an artist, are you not? Or you make jewelry or something.
Yeah.
So you're very creative. And this may seem like a very creative time for you, as in maybe new ideas, new designs, things you've never tried before, new textures, new medium, may all come up for you. And maybe in that broadens your base of people who want to purchase your products. So it can be very interesting for you as the growth is centered around your career and the action is centered around traveling or expansion. So, and remember, I was talking about a sextile, and a sextile is a 60-degree relationship between planets, and it tends to bring our gifts and our talents out in a very big way. So that Jupiter-Venus conjunction and dance are in a sextile with your Sun Mars in the ninth house. So I think your career is also going to get a really good boost. Or instead of calling it your career, let's call it, you know, what you're passionate about, what you live in the world in terms of your authority. And, you know, what is your authentic self and how do you express that? Because it's very much coming to the forefront this summer.
I'm kind of thinking I might connect with make a foreign connection.
That's a distinct possibility. Maybe, you know, someone who you export your stuff to.
Exactly.
You know, who knows? But the potential is there. Now, I don't remember ever doing a human design chart for you, so I'm not sure what your type is. Have I ever done that for you?
I'm a generator.
Awesome. So you know, as a generator, you're responding to something that shows up in your outer world. So we've already planted the seed.
I always have to wait.
Yeah. And you don't have to always wait for long. You're just waiting to respond. And that's all you're waiting for. So, you know, somebody says, hey, I know this guy who's importing, he's in Italy and he loves the kind of work that you do. You know, that's something for you to respond to.
Right.
Do you get that? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that show up in your outer world as opposed to you waking up this morning and go, oh, I think I'll try to find a European connection to sell my jewelry to. You can wake up with that thought and have that thought. But now wait and see who shows up in the outer world, because the very idea of having that thought show up with Neptune retrograde tells me that that's a possibility. It's going to show up. So there's this really beautiful dance going on right now between our intuition and what we express in the world. So be very open to listening and to viewing what's happening in the outer world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your destiny is flipping through your 12th house, which is the hidden, right? It can be fears, blocks, ways we sort of limit ourselves. So I would say let yourself go a little bit, you know, don't think of limits at all if you can help it. You know, the sky is the limit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your imagination is your limit. And if you can imagine more, then, you know, you're willing and able to get more. So try not to let any kind of those, you know, it's inevitable that fear creeps in, but we don't have to attach ourselves to it.
Right. So you can just try not to control it. Let it go.
Yes, just let it go. Just say, that's an interesting thought that you can't do this or that this won't happen for you or that you're spinning your wheels. Whatever the thought is that comes up, isn't that interesting? And just be the observer, step back from it. Don't attach yourself to it. You know, it's a natural human quality, by the way, to have those kinds of thoughts. If they only become real for us when we really attach ourselves to it, when we make it real. So mm-hmm. we don't have to make those, you know, false evidence appearing real fears come into play for us. They're just there. And sometimes they're really just showing us a little bit about what's going on in our subconscious mind. And, of course, the 12th house is the house of the subconscious. So what mm-hmm. might be there is a connection that you have to a past where things didn't work out right. But just because it's happened in the past doesn't make it true for now. So right. you get to be in control here. You get to be in the driver's seat. And you get to make sure that what you want to create is created in the outer world. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome. Let's take a look real quickly at Saturn. Saturn is transiting backwards now through your second house of money. Things may, for the short term, constrict a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's not constriction that is a negative or doesn't have to be. It can be a way for you to focus your resources. For instance, if you're going to expand your line into a foreign country, let's say, you may have to focus your energy and resources on developing a specific type of art or jewelry that's appealing to that particular buyer. So this doesn't have to be a negative thing, but it does seem like you will be focusing and concentrating your energy in some way that affects your resources. Not a bad thing.
Yeah, so actually when Saturn goes direct, it's going to go direct at 28 degrees, sextiling my Jupiter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that have anything, any advantage?
That has a real advantage. Do you know why? Because Jupiter, unchecked, would grow and grow and grow. In fact, when we're talking tumors or pandemics or epidemics, often the culprit is Jupiter with runaway growth. Now, Saturn, on the other hand, is constriction, right? And Saturn in the negative constricts us. It literally can be a feeling of a prison. But you mm-hmm. get these two together, and what you have the real opportunity to do is to grow in a very focused direction. Okay. Using Saturn's ability to maintain boundaries and Jupiter's ability to grow and taking them both and focusing your energy in a very positive way. Now, Jupiter natally for you is in the fourth house, so this tends to grow your stability or to solidify your foundation, right?
That's
your reputation.
Home sale.
Yeah, right, because a home sale can, you know, bring in extra
stability.
Income.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can make more stability for you. But also, you have your Jupiter in Capricorn, which is the sign that Saturn rules.
Right.
So they have a mutually beneficial kind of relationship going on here. So what I think can really happen on in that sextile between the two of them is that you solidify your reputation, how people see you out there in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you are solidifying your authority or your authentic self, right? You're no longer playing to what other people want. You're doing what pleases you.
That's so funny because I'm doing that with friends or people I think that who really aren't my friends, but just, you know, like to have mm-hmm. me invite them to do things with me, you know? So all of a sudden I'm not inviting them anymore
mm-hmm.
because they never invite me to do anything.
Yeah. So this, and, you know, watch this with Venus going retrograde as well, because Venus ruling relationships you're already sort of seeing the setting of the stage here
yes.
with this one, in that it really, we start to look at what we value and how we
That's
value
right.
our relationships, how we value our money even, and what's important to us. You know, we get a real good look at our self-worth sometimes even under a Venus retrograde.
Oh, exactly.
So, yeah. So this is all good stuff, right? Good stuff.
Well, what about my Uranus squaring my sun, like today?
Yeah, like today, like right now. 19 degrees is where the Aries Uranus is, and your sun is at, what, 20 degrees of Cancer. They're exactly square. I don't think this is bad. Uranus square the sun can be very challenging, but it can also be very awakening in that, you know, maybe some stellar insights come, you know, in terms of who you want to be. It can also bring things when you least expect it. And by the way, Uranus is in retrograde motion. So it's backing away from your sun square. And let's see, December 25th, Christmas time, it won't retrograde until July 26th. So let me look at this again. it is going to make it up to 21 degrees. That's going to put it on your destiny, your north node.
Oh, okay.
Then it's going to retrograde back. So it's going to stay in square to your sun for a while, give or take a degree or two on either side. So you have a lot of opportunity for some very strong insights, for some surprising steps forward. And in some ways, Uranus releases us from, you know, the chains that bind, places we've held ourselves back from.
Mm-hmm.
So be aware. You may look at something that you feel oppresses you. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a,
it's
a friend. And you may want to cut the ties. Just be very careful with that when Venus goes retrograde, though, because you don't want to, you know, something that annoys you tremendously about someone in the now may look a whole lot different when Venus goes direct and you laugh at yourself forever thinking that that person was annoying. So
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so try to be aware.
Keep my mouth shut.
And don't, you know, look at, again, bring it into the inner. What does this mean for me? What is this showing me? Where have I undervalued myself?
Yeah.
Where don't I, you know, treat myself as my own best friend? That kind of thing. The other thing is, don't forget the Sun and Mars in this conjunction are on top of your Mars and also very close to your Uranus. And the solstice, of course, brings the sun into conjunction with your natal Uranus. That can also feed into some really interesting insights or unusual things happening, things that you don't see coming that happen out of the blue. For instance, your house, has it sold yet or is it up for sale now?
Yes, it is for sale.
So maybe when you least expect it, something happens around that in a good way. I don't mean that in a negative way because, again, these guys are sitting in the house of expansion, right? The sign, the house that Jupiter actually rules is the ninth house.
Mm-hmm.
So some good things coming to you, Cindy. Just try to keep your mouth shut a little bit.
I'll have inner conversations.
Yes.
You know, and I'll keep my mouth shut because I'm aware of what you said about thinking that something is one way and then a day later you look at it and it's not what you thought it was.
Exactly. And if you've taken steps to let go of relationship or to confront somebody about whatever it is that's bothering you, it can blow up in your face. And, of course, we want to avoid that. We always want to bring it to the inner. What's going on inside of me? Why am I seeing that in the world?
Right.
Why is that bugging me? Because
well,
there's a charge.
A little anxious. Yeah, I've been feeling a little anxious with the Uranus thing. I've been just feeling like an earthquake, and then all of a sudden it calms down. I'm thinking,
Yeah, well, you see, Uranus in the body, it has a lot to do with the nervous system. And, of course, then if our nerves are jangled, you may want to lay off coffee, chocolate, tea, anything, you know, that's a stimulant to you during this time period. Or, you know, at least limit it to one. I don't know if you're a big coffee drinker or anything like that.
Yeah, cut back on coffee. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, just because the body itself is already, you know, reflecting some of this key energy to you by anxiety or nervousness or restlessness. And if you add something to the body that, you know, on its own brings that, then you're kind of compounding that with you or for you. So
right, that makes sense.
Try to get out of that if you can.
One cup of coffee a day.
Yeah, exactly. So good job, Cindy. Thank you so much for calling in today. And
thanks for your insights. They're wonderful.
I can't wait to touch base with you in the fall and find out how your summer went.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, we'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you later then. Thanks, Cindy.
Okay, bye.
Okay, now, there are a couple of other people here that are waiting, and I don't know your name, so I'm just going to jump in and say, hello, caller. How are you?
Hello.
Hi there. Who is this?
It's Liat.
Awesome. I'm so glad I picked you because I still have your chart sitting here in front of you. In front of me, I mean. How are you doing, Liat?
I think I'm feeling the Black Moon Lilith. Like, there's been a lot of tension between me and my mother, so that's been, you know, weighing on me because whenever my relationships are not harmonious, it always affects me adversely. And I know Saturn, it started when Saturn backed up into Scorpio, and that's her 12th house and my second house. I don't know if that has to do with it.
Well, and also natal, transiting Lilith is now sitting on top of your natal Venus in the 11th house. So it does affect your friends, your associations, the people in your life. And then let's see, if we take a look at the house of mother and father or parents, you see the potential, because your Lilith sits in the fourth house, by the way, and in Aquarius, so it's a power struggle, right? Your fear is that you is to use your power, feeling powerless within this. So taking a look at that, the possibility is that this can smooth out for you, because opposing your natal Lilith is, of course, the Jupiter-Venus dance that's going on. So possibly this is a great time for you to heal things here. Is there one kind of issue that keeps cropping up between you and your mother, a kind of repeating sort of theme?
Well, she brought up something from the past that we've never really discussed, and I see it like polar opposite to how she sees it, and so that didn't go over well with her, but I'm not going to apologize for something I don't feel I did, and vice versa. So it's like we're at an impasse, and I said, we're just going to have to agree to disagree, but she's been so combative since then. I mean, it's been really bad.
And you said her natal Saturn, or her Saturn is in her 12th house, or the transiting Saturn is through her 12th house?
The transiting, because she's a Sag rising.
Okay. So, and then you have your Saturn transiting through your second house. So your value and your self-worth and, you know, how you see yourself is involved here. And so not wanting to be seen as having an opinion or something that's less valuable than hers or her insight. That's, you know, that's part of this dynamic between you. I wish I had her chart here in front of me. I could, you know, take a better look at this. But just from your own point of view, just understand that, you know, you are someone that can heal this, or like you said, we might just have to agree to disagree, but it doesn't fundamentally change the way you love one another, because that's the more important piece here. And if you're clear that you haven't done anything to harm her and she just interpreted it that way, well, then it becomes her responsibility to work through that issue, not yours. But you can work through whatever it is that she's showing you about this. Now, let's look at your Jupiter-Venus in the 10th house. How's everything going career-wise for you? Because the 10th house, of course, is career and profession, your inner authority.
I heard somebody tell me, because it's been pretty quiet. I've been looking for work for quite some time now. And I heard that sometimes it's towards the end of the Jupiter transit that you get the rewards. And I had an interview on Monday for teaching like the Head Start preschool. And I did really well in the interview, but I won't know for 2 or 3 weeks if I will get that job. Like, it would be a whole new career for me, but I think it would be challenging and exciting that I would enjoy, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, with Jupiter and Venus in your 10th house, of course, you've got a lot of benefic energy coming to you in that direction. Let's take a look at your natal Jupiter. Right now, Neptune is sitting on top of that. So how your natal Jupiter's in the 5th house, which is Leo territory again. And now we have Neptune sitting on top of your Jupiter. So what is your intuition telling you about this choice? Is this something you really want to be doing? Is this something you are passionate about or that you love? Because that's going to be important here. Because if you don't listen to your intuition, let's say your intuition says, no, this is not the job for me, but I take it anyway because I feel like I need a job, then I may be making decisions that are not in alignment with who I really want to be. So just be aware of that one. Okay? How's your love life?
Okay, yeah, and I also do sitting. That's something I really love doing. Like for when people travel, overnight care in my home, you know, one at a time. I've been trying to line up some things for the summer since this is the travel season now.
Okay. So that does that feel better to you? Does that make you feel more in alignment with who you want to be?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather do that because I can make my own schedule that way, you know? Like if I do a lot of stuff at home and in the kitchen, so if I have the dog, it's like easy. And it's something I enjoy. They bring a lot of joy in my life.
Yeah. Well, that may be something that you really want to look at. If this job does get offered to you, and the possibility is that it will be, because you've got Jupiter was opposing, Jupiter.
Transiting North Node? That's hitting my Mars-Pluto conjunction. I don't know how that works out, but does that have to do with that? Being in the... so I'm not sure.
Well, okay, what that would have to do with that, how that would play into here is whether or not you are in fear around something enough to want to, like, is there a subconscious pattern playing out here that sees you lining yourself up for work that isn't fulfilling or isn't in alignment with who you really want to be? Because destiny here is saying, okay, I'm going to show you this, and how are you going to transform this energy now? Right? Are you going to allow it to imprison you, which is a possibility? Pluto, Mars together can be a literal person in prison. Or is this something that you're going to use to free yourself and finally connect with that which you really love or that which you really want to be doing in the world?
Right. I mean, I know what I love doing. I love helping people, like whether it's nutritional coaching, astrology, caretaking, you know, anything that's heart-centered is what I love. And like my friend had offered, you know, asked me if I was being a personal assistant to her boss because his personal assistant's leaving in September. And while the money is excellent, I know it's going to make me miserable and put me in constant fight or flight mode to be at somebody's beck and call like that, because I don't think my energy is made to do that anymore. I mean, I used to do it, but I was so stressed. And now that the other side of it, it like gives me great anxiety, even the thought of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that you did that, because often when those decisions come up for us, we are very tempted to take what we have been told is the better choice. For instance, most people would say, take the one with the job and more money. But if that doesn't make me happy, then the whole experience sets me up for failure. Right?
Right. And then I feel like, too, if I'm doing a job that makes me unhappy, my vibration's never going to attract a life partner, which is something I want. Because I've
been
single for so many years now, over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, you know. I think when Jupiter maybe gets to my 11th, you think something might happen with my love life? Because right now there's really nothing, right, as far as transits?
Well, it looks like Uranus is very close to passing into your 7th house, but that's still a year or so away.
Yeah.
You have, let's see, going through the 5th house, Chiron and Neptune. And Neptune, again, conjunct your natal Jupiter. So it's a possibility that there's somebody on the horizon. But that may be a problem because you may not see that person clearly with Neptune being on top of Jupiter. It may, you know, he may look like he's all that in a, you know, bottle of water, but he's not. Right, because Neptune is engaged in retrograde motion. So
right,
again,
I've already experienced that with this transit because I've always been someone that's very practical and grounded. But since Neptune went into my fifth, it's like I don't know who I am with that. It's like I put these pedestal, and then I finally see them without the rose-colored glasses, and it's like a major disappointment.
And that's Neptune and Jupiter for you in the fifth house of love and romance. I mean, you've just written the book there. But the good news is that your intuition is heightened at this point in time, if you'll only listen to it. So that can guide you. If someone does show up, it may be the person that's least auspicious looking that is the one that is the better choice. You know, the least out there saying, hey, look at me, and I'm this big guy that, you know, is involved in all these things and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It may be the one that doesn't, you know, come out and state that he's this, you know, very solid guy and, you know, the
right.
I'd go
like
with the
more
quiet
humble
one.
And heart-centered.
Yeah, more humble and heart-centered may be the better choice in a case like this, but default to your intuition. Now, much later, as we go into 2016 and Uranus finally crosses the descendant and into your seventh house, then some of these more light romance type relationships have the opportunity to turn into longer term relationships. So, you know, and
right,
at that
sounds right as far as the timeline. Like, I feel like before I meet the one, I need to have a couple more to help me grow because I still have healing to do.
Yes. And by that point, then Saturn is also fully direct in Sagittarius in your second house. And that way you have a better opportunity to see yourself clearer, see yourself and your value in a relationship clearer. So, and by that point also, money should also be an easier flow for you. So you've got some really good things coming. So just take your time, use your intuition. It's the tool that I cannot emphasize enough for people everywhere to be defaulting to right now. It's empowered And it is very clear if you're just willing to listen, even if it seems anti-logic, to do what your intuition is telling you to do.
Right. Yeah, I've learned that over the last couple of years, is to listen to your body. It never lies. Like this person, this guy, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I was always feeling physically sick and at, not at ease around him, and I was ignoring it, even though I know in my heart he's not for me, but it was just mm-hmm. that towards him because he's so intelligent, and I'm a sucker for that. Like, I love it's no, but it's very hard to find someone who's, like, very smart, like, on my wavelength, you know?
Uh-huh. So here's something else I want you to watch out for, is that as you get toward August 8th, Mars will move into Leo, which means a couple of days before that, so, you know, the first week in August, Mars is going to be crossing your midheaven, and that may be where the best job options come up. The Sun will have crossed it just before that, and then Mars will cross it. So I would look to some of the most enticing opportunities to come up as we get into August for you.
Oh, okay.
Job-wise.
This teaching job, if I were to get it, it's only a part-time and it doesn't start until September 14th and it's only 10 weeks long. It's like 4 hours in the morning. So it's not like an intensive thing, you know. And I figured it would give me like a purpose and a challenging opportunity. I'm working with young kids.
Yeah.
But I'll see. I'll go by my intuition. I mean, I figure if they offer it to me, then it's meant to be. And if not, it's, you know.
Yep. Definitely. So listen to your intuition. Know that possibly late July, early August is when something much more enticing comes along, much more in alignment with your passion, and use your intuition.
And how do you see as far as self-employment, like trying to pitch, like creating maybe a website for nutritional coaching or pitching like for astrology readings, or do you see that in the chart for self-employment?
Well, you know what, your natal sun is in the 12th house, and so I think you obviously would do better when you get to work from home or when you don't have to be out and about in the world and seen so much.
Right,
it's why
I
have a 12th house sun too, and that's why radio works for me really well, right? I don't have to, I actually look decent today, but if I were in my pajamas, no one else would know, right? I could be comfortable and feel good about myself in my environment. That's what the 12th house sun often likes to withdraw and be, you know, much more in the behind the scenes. So I think you would flourish in a situation like that if you could set yourself up in it as a coach or even as an astrologer. I see some of the things you write on Facebook, and it's very intuitive. So go for it, chica.
Thank you. Yeah, plus I have the moon on my IC, right? That's another indication to work from home.
And
yeah, I definitely love that. Like, I don't have to get dressed up to go to a job because I hate getting, like, it's so not me to get dressed. And then it takes away from my productivity. It's like a distraction to me because I'm not comfortable, you know?
Very good. So, yes, I see that would be a very strong possibility for you to have success in some form of work that you do either from home or from your own office or in a self-employed sort of sense.
Okay.
Oh, and
well,
your midheaven.
Part-time right
too.
Now. I have I do virtual personal assistant work. It's very part-time. It's like maybe 5 hours a month. I do it for this couple, but it's something like that. It's a nice form of income in the sense that I don't have to go to a job and I can do it all from home and I don't have to be at their beck and call, which I like.
Yeah, Liat, I want you to at some point, I don't know if you've done this already, but get your human design chart because I'm afraid you're dabbling and maybe you're meant to focus more. So do that sometime. All right. I've got to bring this to a close. We only have a minute and a half left. Thank you so much for waiting and for allowing me to take a look at your chart, Liat. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for the insight. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right, and there are two people here on the line that did not get a reading. I'm going to give you my email address. Please send me your name and your birth information if you don't think I already have it, and I'll be happy to take a quick look at your charts for you. My email address is Janet, J-A-N-E-T, at living-astrology.com, and I'll be happy to do that for you. I'm just giving you guys a heads up. My husband has to have knee surgery either on June 25th or on July 2nd, so it's a good bet. One of those 2 days I will not be doing my radio show. So follow me on Facebook at Living Astrology or sign up on Twitter for Living Astrology or Janet Hickox. Or you can favorite Living Astrology on Blog Talk, and they will let you know when my next scheduled show is. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and for those of you who allowed me to take a look at your chart, thank you very much. It's my pleasure, my joy, my passion to do that for you. And everybody have a happy solstice and a stellar week. Bye for now.